Welcome back to Midpoint, friends, on this May 26, 2026. I'm your host, Shelley Reback, and I've got a point of personal privilege to discuss. Our WMNF Summer Fun Drive is next week, and we will be here on June 3rd, pitching our hearts out for donations to help support your favorite independent, non-commercial radio station. But this will likely be my last Midpoint Fun Drive, so I'm really hoping that you will all help make it a good one. And let me go out with a bang. After almost 10 years as your host of Midpoint, and even though now listeners will still mistake me for Janelle Irwin, but after June, after almost 10 years, I will be moving on to indulge in some of my other passions. I hold a leadership position in voter protection for the elections in August and November. I wrote a play, which I believe will be produced next year by a local theater. And I'd like to do more writing. My son lives abroad and is planning a family, so I want more time to travel. So it really is time to go. As I said, I've been your host for almost 10 years, first for a couple years with Lynn Dingfelder, who is now an occasional co-host of Down and Dirty with John Dingfelder, and then briefly with Janet Scherberger, who left to host Wavemakers on Tuesday before leaving radio altogether. It has been just me and my guests for the last, maybe 6 or 7 years. I hope you've appreciated the show in these last 10 years because I've worked really hard on it. So I'm asking you to show your appreciation by making a generous donation to support and to honor Midpoint. You can do that right now by going to the WMNF.org website and directing your contribution to Midpoint in the drop-down menu. I'll be so thrilled to thank you next week during our on-air pledge drive. All right, so as you know, each week I bring you a show on a topic in the news with expert guests on that topic. And this week I intended to do no different. But it was a holiday weekend following last week's show, and try as I might, I could not get a news topic lined up with expert guests. No expert or social service professional could respond to my invitation to be a guest or agree to come on the show today. Everyone was out of the office and celebrating the long weekend. So today we are going to open the phone lines to you. You are going to be my guests in another episode of Midpoint's Talkback Town Hall. And we will talk about what you want to discuss. But we are going to start with the big questions. So to start us off, I've invited our friend of the show, James Michael Shaw Jr., to begin by raising the existential question. Why are we here? And what are we supposed to do while we are here? This is a favorite topic of James, who was recently invited to discuss this question by the UU Church, the Unitarian Universalist Church of Tampa. I asked him for the Cliff Notes version of the answer to the question, why are we here, which essentially asks, what is the meaning of life? But I couldn't get the answer out of him. I'm beginning to suspect he may not have an answer. So I'm relying on your listeners, you, to give me an answer to the question, why are we here and what are we supposed to do while we are here? I really want to hear your answers to that question. So give us a call at 813-239-9663. You can also email dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. But I'm going to prioritize phone calls today so we can have a dialogue with you, my guests. So first, let me introduce James. James is a lawyer, a songwriter, and a big thinker. And I'm hoping he'll be able to answer that big question for us. Why are we here, James? And what are we supposed to be doing while we are here?
Why do you think we're here, Shelley?
I think we're here just because, you know, Mama gave birth to us. And, you know, we are just following some sort of pragmatic path, you know, from birth to death. I don't know that there's a big guiding principle.
See, that kind of knocked me down the other day when you called me and you you made the, oh my God, James, everybody else said no. I'm stuck with you phone call that I get from you occasionally. But I asked you that and you said, well, I really never think about that.
I don't think about why we are here and what, I mean, I do think about what we're supposed to do while we're here, but I never think about why we're here. You know, like what is the point of my existence? I never think about that. I do think about putting one foot in front of the other and doing the best I can to build community, to be kind, to be helpful, to get educated myself, and share education. You know, those are the kinds of pragmatic things I do think about, but I never think about, you know, why I'm here.
See, I don't know if the other animals are thinking about that. I don't really think that squirrels are wondering why they are squirrels, or even monkeys are wondering why they are monkeys. They're mostly fixated on where am I going to get the next banana and where can I find another monkey, right?
Yeah.
But we can think about that, and it would be easy enough not to. It would be easy enough to just wake up and go to the work factory and operate that drill press and get your paycheck and come home and feed your family and
do that over and over until you die.
I think part of why we see what we're seeing with the Zoomer generation is they were under house arrest for a year and a half during their teenage years, which were complicated enough without that. And they spent a lot of time thinking and when we really didn't. We were too busy to think about that.
Well, there is a renaissance in people attaching themselves to religion, apparently. I've been reading a lot of articles about people, you know, joining the church now more than ever. I mean, for so many years, there was a decline in people being religious and people's affiliation with church. And all of a sudden, there's sort of a renaissance of people looking for some sort of you know, spirituality and meaning. And I personally believe that it's less looking for spirituality and meaning than it is looking for community. You know, that people are desperate, especially coming out of the pandemic, desperate to have a community. And I think that that's the point. You know, I think that we are here to build community.
Yeah, as you know, I belong to the UU Church of Tampa. Most of the members are atheists. There's this idea that church is synonymous with belief in a deity. It's not really true. There's plenty of people that see a benefit to having that community, having a choir to join when and sing in when you want to, having people to lean on in times of trouble and spending a little bit of time every week thinking about the big questions together. And there doesn't really need to be a deity for you to do that.
Well, I have the same relationship with my Reform synagogue as an atheist. I personally am an atheist, and many people in this Reform synagogue are atheists, but it does provide a sense of community. And for me personally, anyway, I look around and I think these are the people who would hide me in their secret annex when the time comes. You know, that much I think I can get out of that particular community. I have Jerry on the phone who has a comment about the show. And since we are looking for answers from our guests who are our listeners, I'm going to bring him into the conversation. Jerry in St. Pete, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks. Well, and thanks for your service. You did a great job.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed your show. But I think you answered the question already really briefly. So I think the simplest answer is we're here to do the best that we can, to like be the best that we can be.
I agree.
We're here to, you know, to be the best job that we can here as a human being.
Yeah. What do you think job is though? What do you think?
Well, it's whatever you choose it to be. Like, for instance, you service the community with WMNF. You and that woman answered the phone call.
Yes.
Really a good job.
Yeah.
And then you're airing things that are not violent, and you're trying to help other people, and you're making people happy with your plays or with your music or with whatever, and you're not hurting anybody. And so you're just, I think the best we can is the simplest answer to the job that we're here to do.
Okay, so you don't think that there's a why, though, behind that? why we are trying to do the best we can. I mean, because I think people like Trump,
wait, don't talk over me
because it makes for bad radio.
Okay, sorry.
You know, but I think people like Trump, he's also trying to do the best he can to bring fascism to America, you know? I mean,
do you really think that?
I do. I do.
I don't think he has a clue.
Well, the people around him.
I'm not even sure he has a purpose. I mean, that's a whole nother discussion. That could be a spiritual discussion. So depending on who you think he really is, it's not about the best. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
All right.
You understand what I'm saying? I think he just is, and what he is the question. Who is he? What is that person?
Let's go there. There are 8 billion people in the world.
How about a human being? Is he a human being? That's that question.
I think so. I think so. All right, Jerry
that.
In St. Pete, I've got a bunch. All
luck,
of a sudden, people
Take
are
away.
In the queue.
Great job. Congratulations.
Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate it. I've got to cut you off, though.
See ya.
Thank you. I've got David in Tampa who wants to talk about the big questions. David, you're on the air.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Shelley. Hey, this is David, Mr. White Pepper Bryant.
Hi, David.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm okay.
I was curious about what y'all's guests think about the big prayer thing that they had at the National Mall just a couple weeks ago, I think. And it was very much kind of like a Christian nationalism kind of thing. I didn't think it was right because it just, you know, focused on one religion. We're supposed to have, you know, freedom of religion. And I also think that God sent Trump to test us.
You think God sent Trump to test us? So,
yeah.
I mean, there's so much in that statement. A, there's a God. B, that Trump is some sort of, something that God could create to and see that we are being tested. I mean, there's so much to unpack in that one little sentence.
No, I do. I think he is. And I think that in a sense that it's kind of like a moral flood. It's like God, you know, sent the flood to kill everybody and start fresh. And I kind of feel like that's what Trump is too, in like a moral sense.
Interesting.
That's a pretty intense way to test people, though, to drown everybody except for one family. I'm thinking there must have been an easier way.
Well, all right, David, thank you. Appreciate the call. That's such an interesting statement. I want to do a little unpacking of that with James. I have an email here from Alex in Lakeland who says, I believe a successful human's purpose would be to create and or participate positively in systems for protecting, preserving, and providing dignity to all living things and their conditions of habitation. That's what Alex in Lakeland thinks. Alex, I think we are doing a really lousy job with the purpose that you've stated. I think we are. I think we are, you know, must be unsuccessful humans because we are not at all reaching the goals that you've articulated, Alex. I don't think we're participating positively in systems for protecting, preserving, and providing dignity to all living things. I do not think we're doing that.
And not everybody thinks that that is what we're supposed to be doing. It's funny because the Unitarians arrived at 7 principles that they decided are the bedrock. And the first one is the inherent worth and dignity of every human being. That's what Unitarians believe in. I kind of landed there. I think I kind of landed at, we started out as these hunter-gatherers and somebody decided, let's take it to another level. Let's build something. Let's learn about this world around us. Let's plant food and eat cultivated food. Let's learn how to read and write. And I think probably right around there was the beginning of 2 political parties. There were progressives that said, let's do this, let's build this thing. And there were others who said, no, we're much happier as hunter-gatherers. Don't learn things. Don't eat cultivated food. Don't put clothes on. Just let's keep this going. And I think you've had that push-pull pretty much since the beginning. But yeah, I think we're here to build that. I think we're here to create some kind of mechanism where we can protect the dignity of all life.
Well, I do think that all of the religious traditions anyway share kind of the golden rule, right? Like, do unto others as you would have them do to you. I do think that all of the religious traditions basically adopt that. And I think the liberal political tradition at its highest moral level, I think, believes the same thing, you know? That we're all humans, we're social creatures living together, facing the same kinds of practical problems, and, you know, we're all looking for solutions. And, you know, that I think we all, you know, in our highest, best selves believe that those kinds of problems should be solved in a way that help all people, that are kind to all people, that are protective of all people. But I think we're doing a really crappy job of it.
But who wants us to do that? Do we want us to do that, or does somebody else want us to do that?
Where somebody does that else, come you from? Mean God?
That's what I'm saying.
Hmm.
Was that there for us to discover, or is that a question for us to be asking, why are we here, or is that a question for us to be answering?
Well, I mean, I think that we all have a sense of very practical ethics. I personally don't feel like I need God, you know, I mean, to figure out how to behave in a way where I don't lie, steal, or kill arbitrarily. I don't feel like I need God to tell me to live that way, you know, or to, you know, cultivate a sense of self-discipline, to be honest, you know, to help people who are suffering when you reasonably can. I mean, I think there's like practical ethics that most people have. I wish more people had, but I don't know that you need to have a God.
I don't know that you do either. I think that comes from our impulse to preserve ourselves and by implication to preserve other people, that it has helped us out as a species, that we have this impulse to help other members of the species make it when we can do that. I think we've pulled one another up historically that way. Not because anyone told us to. I think it was our idea, and it was a good idea.
Yeah, but I don't think there's like a big, you know, old man in the sky that we need to tell us to do that. I think is responsive to your original question.
Right. When you say people are flocking to the churches, I think there's a hunger for the answer to that question. Like, well, what are we doing here? What are we supposed to be doing while we're here?
I think there's a hunger to share casseroles with people who look like you, for the most part, you know?
There's that too, but I think you start out by, well, the people that think that they have it all figured out, let's hear what they have to say, and we'll start there. If they've got it right, great, I'm done. If not, I got to keep searching. You know, I started there. I started listening to, I quickly concluded that everybody who says they've got it all figured out, nobody really has it all figured out. If anyone had it all figured out, it'd be obvious who that was, and I don't see anybody who's obviously got it all figured out.
Right, but generations after generations feel that they found who has it all figured out. They found Jesus, you know, they found Buddha, they found Muhammad, you know. Generations after generations, there are scads of people who feel like there's a guy, and it's always a guy, almost always. I mean, I guess the Wiccans believe it could be a woman, but they always, you know, there's a guy who figured it out. There's Jesus, there's Muhammad, there's, you know, Buddha. There's, I'm sure, others that I'm not, you know, putting my finger on. I don't know. I want to hear your answers to the big questions, listeners. You are my guests today, and I want to hear your answers to the question, why are we here, and what should we be doing while we are here? What is the meaning of life? So give us a call at 813-239-9663. You can also email me at dj@wmnf.org. Or you can text us at 813-433-0885. As I said, I'm going to prioritize phone calls because I want to have a dialogue with you all today, because you're my guests. So we're going to be talking about the big questions. We're going to be thinking the big thoughts. And we hope that you will join us here on WMNF Tampa at 813-239-9663. All right. So, you know, Karen sent a message that says, God sent Trump because he ran out of locusts. Equating Trump as a plague.
I can't really view him as anything more than just another one of us talking space monkeys. What fascinates me is that there's 8 billion of us and that we picked that one to coalesce around. I'm sure there were better choices for us to choose, but you know, my father said something that really bummed me out, that unfortunately over the next 1,000 years he's probably going to be the most talked about human being that ever lived, and that makes me really, really mad that we, of all the choices, we selected that one.
Well, I mean, I think that you know, over the, like I said, generation after generation, there's the one Messiah, there's the one, there's the enlightened one, you know, there's, and, you know, many, many people adopt that one as their guide, their spiritual guide, but many people don't. And it's always interesting to me why some people, you know, become so attached to a particular alleged Messiah, and other people resist that. That's always been interesting to me. Like, you know, why there are you know, people who organize their life around Jesus. There are like Hasidim who organize their life around the Lubavitcher Rebbe. You know, and there are others who are just resistant, like me. You know, I mean, okay, I've always had trouble with authority, any kind of authority. So I think that it also colors my relationship to a particular alleged God. But I don't know. We've got a bunch of calls here. Let me stop talking and bring in Steve in St. Pete. Steve, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing today?
Okay. We're thinking the big thoughts. What are your big thoughts, Steve?
Well, you know, I was an atheist for a lot of my life, and one day a person came and they were talking to me. It was at a funeral, and then he mentioned, he goes, "You see all these graves out here?" And I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Well, the wages of sin is death, and this is why we die, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is why we physically die, and why we spiritually die." And then he told me, he goes, "It's easier to lead a secular atheist to Christ than a religious atheist to Christ." And I go, "What do you mean?" And he goes, "Well, the only thing that keeps a person from not acknowledging who Jesus Christ was is a person that has pride in their heart. In other words, I am okay. I am righteous. I am good. I do things in my life that are good." And I got thinking about it. Then I started reading, before I even looked at a Bible, I started reading historical books, especially like from the Roman Empire, which was, you know, controlling most of the known world during Christ's exclusive earthly ministry to the nation of Israel. So I started studying just history books.
Okay, listen, Steve, I don't have time for your whole course of study here. You got to, like, wrap it up.
The last thing I'm going to say, I came to the conclusion that Jesus Christ is who he said he was, that he was God Almighty, he was sinless.
I don't think Jesus ever said he was God. I don't think he said that. I think his...
He did. You want me to tell you?
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I need you to wrap up.
All right, Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father." And Jesus said, "Have I been with you not so long? Anybody that has seen me has seen the Father." He told the Pharisees of Israel, "Before Abraham, I am. And unless you believe that I am, ye will die in your sin."
Okay.
Christ said, "Me and the Father are one, and one in the same."
Okay. Well, thank you for your perspective. I appreciate it.
It keeps you from God. It's pride.
But I've got to cut you off now because we've got a queue. But thank you for your perspective.
Thanks for letting me share.
Okay.
I don't know. All the other animals die too, and I don't think it's the squirrels are sinning, and that's why they're dying.
Yeah. I mean, that makes no sense to me because we are physical beings. I mean, we're made up of decaying meat, and you know, we're going to die.
Although it always interested me that in a lot of the Eastern religions that believe in reincarnation as an established fact, that they're
true.
Trying to get out of living eternally. Like, how do I get out of this? How do I stop reincarnating? And here, and then in the West, it's, we're going to die. How do we keep going? It's funny that each one of us is trying to escape what the other one takes as a given.
Yeah, well, you know, you're right. Hinduism offers several different paths toward your end, the Dharma, the Karma, but it generally holds that our purpose is to fulfill our duty in this life and across all our lifetimes, and to dissolve the illusion of separateness and reunite with the Brahman so that, you know, you never really die. I mean, that's sort of Hinduism. You're always, you know, coming back to fulfill your purpose. I don't know. I've got Wendy and Seminole on the line here. Wendy, you're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Okay, well, I very rarely call in, but I could not resist. I want to give you a real brief summary of something that happened to me. I'm 74 years old, so this happened to me back when I was in college. A guy sat up with me in the whatever for a long time, and we talked, and he explained his idea, and it really is an idea of incarnation, reincarnation, but it also adapts itself to our heroes, our Baha'ullahs, who would be the end of the line at this point, you know, all of them, Jesus and everybody came before him, that they themselves are incarnate. And every single thing, every single guy like Jesus, who everybody believes now is the be-all and the end-all, oh no, there's more. There's more out there, because we are all made of energy that cannot be created nor destroyed. And I have this thing called the big giant egg theory. It's really stupid, but give me 2 seconds and I'll explain it to you.
Okay, you got 2 seconds.
Okay, in the beginning, there was a big giant egg. Everything was perfect. Nirvana, that's what it came from. But somebody said, well, this isn't perfect enough for me, so they left. Now the big giant egg isn't perfect. And then they travel a time continuum, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, with a group of people. And until they, and if they do something wrong, you know, you have to make up for all the things you do before you can come back to live a perfect life. And you have to go through it. And everybody has one, including Jesus and all the other things. That was a real rough story, but that's my belief.
Okay. Well, I think that's interesting. You know, you have to go through and you have to perfect your life. And what happens when you die in your big giant egg theory?
Because no one is really perfect. It's kind of like that.
What happens when you die? I think you get planted in the earth, or you become ashes and go back to the earth. Either way, but I don't think there's any more than that. Do you think there's any more than that?
I believe there's spirit. I believe that your spirit rises above your corporal being, and I believe that spirit goes until it's time for it to come back.
Okay.
Because if in this lifetime you did something, anything, you harmed somebody, you need to make amends for it. I also would highly recommend hypnotic regression. I've done it twice, but you don't have enough time for me to tell you those stories.
Okay, well, thank you for calling in, Wendy from Seminole.
Yeah.
We really appreciate your perspective and the big giant egg theory. I appreciate it. Thanks for calling in. You know, it's interesting. I don't believe that there's necessarily like a spirit that is a formed thing that lingers after you die. But I do believe that, you know, we live on in the memories of the people around us whose lives we affected, whether it's our family or our friends. I believe we live on that way. I know there are moments where, you know, something happens and I think, wow, I need to call my brother, but my brother's dead, you know? And so I start thinking about my brother. So, you know, I believe those kinds of moments are, in a sense, a spirit that lives on.
Yeah, I mean, Thomas Jefferson's been dead for a very long time, but he's still a very much an everyday part of all of our lives, and his ideas created this, we're kind of this blueprint that we built the country around. And so in some sense, you know, he's still getting his way, even though he's not around anymore. But if you think about space time the way that Einstein thought of it, is space and time aren't really two different things when you really start looking at it. Just like it seems to us, like the sun is revolving around the Earth, and people thought that it did for a long time until we started doing the math and realized it was the other way around. And same is true with time and space. So Thomas Jefferson's still back there somewhere at the time where he was, and still affecting things today. And so in some sense, he's not dead.
So his ideas live on, just the way, like, my impression that my brother would have appreciated this thing that I wanted to tell him, you know, lives on. I do think people live on in that way, you know, through their ideas or through their effect on the people who aren't dead, you know?
Sure.
People whose lives they affected.
I'm a big fan of the butterfly effect, and there's a whole branch of science fiction where somebody goes back in time and, you know, sleeps with somebody or kills a mosquito and comes back and Germany had won the war or something. Everybody kind of understands how a very small change in the past could radically change the future, but that's true right now. Very small actions now can radically change the future. Even after you're gone, the changes that you brought into place are still there.
Yeah. All right, let me bring in Bill from Palm Beach. Ooh, Palm Beach. Okay, Bill, you're on the air.
Hi, Shelley. I always love your show. I don't call in often, but I'm originally from Seminole. But I moved to Green Acres, and Shelley, I'm at my sister's house right now tending to her animals. But I'll tell you the purpose in life. My purpose is to serve my dog.
Serve your dog?
Yes.
Okay.
My name is Patience.
Okay.
And so I serve my dog, and I'm tending to my sister's dog and bird now while she's away. But that's my purpose.
Okay. I think dog and God are very close, frankly.
These are your listeners, Shelley. You've been doing the show for 10 years, and there are people who believe in the giant egg and serving their dogs.
Yes. And I'm happy to have them. Thank you for supporting us, Bill. And
hey, I'm a founding supporter since 78. I was playing hooky when Rob Loy knocked on my door. Panhandling with a coffee can.
Well, yeah, we're still serious. Panhandling. Don't forget about us, because we've got our fun drive next week, and I hope that you'll...
Okay, my three things. I'm here to serve my dog, support my station, and tend to my crops, which are growing right now in the sun.
All right. Okay, that seems like worthy purposes.
I do miss Joellen, but we love you, Shelley, and we're going to miss you. I'll miss you.
Thank you so much, Bill. Appreciate you being such a great listener.
Thank you for supporting WM&F.
All right. Now. Thanks, Bill. I'm going to bring in somebody else. Okay. I've got, Chris in Clearwater.
Good morning.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, my only 5-second gospel would be to focus on your third eye as constantly as possible. You don't need to go cross-eyed. If you just become aware of it, you can sense it, use it, and it allows access to all your other chakras, which are energy centers along your spine, and focusing on your heart, you'll find it's like... You know, if you've heard of raising the kundalini practice in yoga and other disciplines, that it becomes a matter where the heart has so much love that it's going up the spine, that the third eye is like a pressure release valve, an omnidirectional pressure release valve.
Well, how does that answer the big question, Chris? Why are we here? I mean, that sounds like a really positive experience, but how does it answer the big question of why we are here?
Well, you are to answer that for yourself. And kyanite is another good tool that you can put behind your ears. So you can take a stick of kyanite, and I've found with most people who...
What is kyanite? I'm not familiar with that.
It's a mineral you can get
shops,
maybe a buck or two for a little stick. So put a stick behind each ear. And I found most people that do that will have an astral or out-of-body experience. And you'll be able to participate and remember what's going on and know.
All right. Okay, Chris, I've got a big queue here, so I'm going to have to cut you off. But thank you for calling in. I appreciate your participation in the show. Thank you. I've got Lynn from Sarasota. Lynn, you've been very patient. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you. I think something you said before When people die, I don't think it's a question of the reincarnation of a spirit. That has too much to do with identity. I think it's just the reincarnation of energy. Something, and that things, wisdom implies that what you do is what matters, not actually what you believe. And
so I like that, Lynn.
I think that what we're here to do is to really preserve, be the caretakers, because of the gifts we've been given, for all living creatures, including ourselves, and to preserve the environment that we've been given. But people don't think that way, unfortunately. And we really should have more respect for the everyone. But to do that, I mean, it's a very physical thing. It's not just spiritual. You can't give dignity to someone who's starving. If women are in a country, they can't be really free unless they're given education and they have enough food and they have freedom.
Okay, I think I get your point. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. I'm glad to have your perspective. All right, I want to read an email here from Justin, who says, God is as a man in the sky is a construct of man. If God is omnipotent, then how could we even begin to measure the Creator by our yardsticks? Religion has been helpful for maintaining control and a system that educated, cleaned, fed, and housed millions. Humans manipulated the message for their own savage and usually unsavory means. Society has now outgrown many of the original needs for the church, but the sense and fulfillment of community is still very important and rewarding. There is no church, there is no God, there is only us. I think that is a very interesting statement. I mean, I do believe that God is a construct of man. You know, how can it not be? I mean, you know, if there really is a God, I'm not sure that we, us little people, would be able to understand it. So whatever we now think of as God is a construct of man. And it's certainly true that religion has been used to control people, you know, so...
Sure. I think that was one of our big innovations from the hunter-gatherer days, was our ability to both control people and be controlled. And once, you know, if you think of it in terms of a Lego, that you can put one on top of it or one beneath it, and that innovation lets you build gigantic structures out of them. The same is true with people, that you can build structures out of human beings, like corporations, like motorcycle gangs, like cities, like states, like nations, and a lot of people find meaning as being part of that bigger structure.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You know, like Trump cultists are no different. Scientologists are no different. Hasids are no different. You know, these are these kind of cults, these kinds of sects that grow up because people feel a desperate need for humanity, and the people that I think get you know, wrapped up in those kinds of organizations are people who need to feel like they need to be told what to do, what to believe, how to behave, how to act.
Well, there's good organizations, too. There's the American Civil Liberties Union. There's the City of Tampa. There's the United States of America.
Okay, good point. You know, all right.
There are organizations worth perpetuating, and there are organizations that are better off dismantled. But, to go back to talking about him, I mean, he was a guy that I think found groups that felt like they were part of a group that was losing favor, that was losing status, and that he promised to return it to them. I think that's why they see him as this messianic figure. There's really no coherent philosophy there. There's one guy doing what's best for that guy, and yet, you know, what's best for him is to promise this other group that he's going to give them some power and some money that they feel has been unfairly denied to them, and that's all they needed to hear.
I mean, I look at what Trump is doing, like with that slush fund, for example. He's behaving like a warlord, you know, who has a paid cadre of soldiers who support him, defend him, protect him, and advance him. You know, that's that to me is what the slush fund is for. It's like a paid mercenary band for his own use.
It's American foreign aid, but turned in internally. I mean, American foreign aid would often propped up a dictator by giving him money that he would then redistribute to people who were his sycophants and kept him held up.
Yeah, this is no different.
As long as he played ball with the United States, the money kept coming. And so he's kind of doing that internally with his own supporters. Here's a bunch of money I'm going to muster up and distribute amongst you all.
Really? All right. Let me bring in, I've got some people who've been very patient. I've got Drew in St. Pete. You're on the air. Drew in St. Pete. Are you with us?
Okay.
Okay, you're on the air. Let's go.
Okay. So, I don't know of anybody that doesn't like to have some kind of inside information, some to take advantage of others and others to simply avoid being taken advantage of. So, you know, to get that inside information, some people, you know, go to great lengths. And I'm calling mainly because of the fellow that talked about the I am that I am. And that's a great example of how something could be taken out of context and spun into some huge deal and totally missed the point. The point was, I'm pretty sure I wasn't there, of course, when Moses was there. But anyway, I'm pretty sure that when Moses asked whatever that was, what's your name? And of course, as we all been discussing, you know, that infinite powerful and omniscient or whatever source of all energy, infinite thing, how many names is it going to have? And it's, or it's going to have one name. So the answer, I am that I am, was simply, dude, forget about it. And Moses was acting like a child and, you know, instead of just going off to accomplish the instructions that Moses was given, even that might be...
I got to ask you to wrap it up, Drew.
And even that might be misguided and misquoted. But the point is, Moses was like a little kid asking, why, ask why, ask why. And guess what? We're all doing that still. Why, ask why, ask why?
Yes,
why?
We are. We're doing that right now on this show.
Why are we doing this still? Birds and deer and bugs, they don't do it, but we do it.
Well, we don't know. Maybe they do. But I got to cut you off, Drew. I've got a big fat queue here of people who want to get their perspective on air. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it.
Thanks for your...
All right. I've got... let's see. Who's been waiting the longest here? I've got Joe in Venice. Joe, you're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for the show.
You're welcome.
I had two major life-changing events for me. Both while I was sleeping and woke up out of my sleep and not able to go back to sleep from the mere, not shock of them, but the impact of them. First time, my brother Tom passed away, and I wasn't fretting about it or anything, and I was sleeping, and I heard a voice, and it was, I don't hate to say it, it was a male voice, and it said, Tom has cracked his shell and been raised to heaven. And I immediately woke up and I felt peace and closure, I don't know, but a great feeling of peace came over me. And I sat there awake for the rest of the night. After hearing that voice, I could not go back to sleep.
All right. Well, that's an interesting experience, Joe.
The second thing.
All right. Make it brief.
I had sleep apnea real bad. I died. I went into the light. And it was a beautiful, I would say it was like traveling into a kaleidoscope of color and beautiful sound and warmth and excitement and joy.
Well, we're glad you're back with us, Joe in Venice.
Yeah. And I sat up the rest of the night after that happened, too. And I had to deal with the sleep apnea. I found that out. But anyway.
All right, Joe, I've got to cut you off here because I've got to move on. But thank you for sharing your experiences with us. Appreciate your calling in. Thanks very much. Wow. Okay. I've got an email here that I want to read at least some of it and summarize it. But Suzanne has written in to say she's writing to express my disappointment regarding the recent broadcast in which I shared my disbelief in God. Given that you have a public forum, I'm concerned that these comments may discourage listeners regarding their personal beliefs. For many, believing in a higher being is their primary source of hope. Hey, Suzanne, I'm not telling anybody what to believe or not to believe.
Oh, no, that's interesting what she said. She said, not this is true and you're going to get people to stop believing it because it's true and that's a bad thing. She said, it gives people hope to believe it. Doesn't matter if it's true or not. It gives them hope and you're taking that away. That's an interesting thought, Suzanne. So thank you for saying it. I don't know if there's any beings higher than us. I've never seen any convincing evidence that there was. And if there were, I'm not so sure that I'm supposed to be pleasing them, that I'm supposed to be doing what they say. But if that is a source of hope to somebody else, I don't want to take it away from them.
Sure, exactly. I'm not telling them they have to believe like I believe. You know, believe what you want. I'm a firm believer in people having the right to believe what they want. But, you know, I'm with James in the sense that I'm questioning that belief that people share, you know, if they have that belief. But they're welcome to have it.
And when you think about it, there's been thousands and thousands of gods. I mean, Odin was a god, so was Thor, so is Zeus, so is Hera. Most of us don't believe that any of them are, you know, most of us accept that those are dreamed up constructs from
stories.
Our ancestors. And, you know, I'm just taking it one further than most people are.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I've got an email here from Chris who says, Pete Hegseth is acting as if he can speed up the miracle of his end times belief. Which I think is true. If you follow the news, you've probably seen Hegseth out there talking about war and the military and the goals of the Trump administration.
And quoting fake Bible verses
right.
from Pulp Fiction.
Right, as a matter of Christian theology. Yeah. Okay, somebody else here, text message ending in 4783 says, well, what happens to your soul? Or do you believe we do not have souls? Oh, good question. Good question. What about that? Souls?
I don't think we have souls. I think that, I think, you know, most soul believers think that only humans have them and animals don't. But I've definitely had moments where I think my dog or a horse or something was understanding the world around it, and I don't think that that there's anything special about humans that, you know, we are better than them. I think that what is special about us is that we think about this. I don't think the other animals think about this, but I don't think that, you know, I think I'm a biological machine that at some point will stop operating.
Right. That's kind of how I should have brought, no offense, James, but I should have brought in a believer to today's show. We have two atheists sit here, but let me bring in Simon from Lakeland, who's been very patient. Go ahead, Simon, and make it brief.
Hi. Thank you for taking that call. I'll make this very brief. I'm sure Richard Dawkins and Sam Harris and Christopher Hitchens would like this show. Personally, going from idolatry to God, I think, was on the ledger a positive move. My last statement, why are we here? Personally, I think we're here to fight evil.
Hmm.
Now, we're having a difficult time in the period we're living in. I think we're headed toward the dark ages, determining the distinction between good and evil. But man is here to fight cruelty, injustice, and corruption. Whether they use the playbook of God or religion, that's the dilemma that we have on the planet, and we'll continue to fight what people perceive as justice and unfairness.
Interesting, Simon. Thank you for that perspective. That's an interesting perspective. We're here to fight evil. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. I have an email here from Martin who says, I am that I am. We are all God. Also, I spoke to God last night. She is black and she is really pissed. Thank you, Martin. Okay, that's as good a definition as any, I think. I've got one, a message from Jack in Ellenton, who says, predestination, if valid, implies there is no free will. I resist that fiercely, but I cannot refute it logically. Evolution is not so distant from predestination. Now that's interesting, don't you think?
That's a deep thought.
That's a deep thought. That's a big thought. Thank you, Jack.
Are we, in fact, writing this movie as it progresses, or is it already there on the reel and we're just watching it?
Yeah.
That's a question that's very difficult to answer.
Yeah, that's a really good question, Jack. Thank you. Appreciate your thoughts. Okay. I think that I'm trying to cover some of these emails here. And text message, it's interesting that this, I picked this one that followed Jack's message about whether there's free will or whether everything is predestined, because text message 4783 wrote back and says, isn't free will great? It's the one thing the creator made sure to give us. So that's a little bit of circular logic there. So, okay, that's interesting, really interesting. I've got, let's see, I don't know, a bunch of other emails. Somebody at 2299 says it is our responsibility to speak out against injustice, to be a voice for those whose voices are being silenced. Okay, well, there you go. That's a person who believes in community overall. You know, because otherwise, if we're just individuals, there would be no responsibility for speaking out for those who are voiceless,
well,
right?
The other text person said something about evil, that we should be fighting against evil. What's evil? I mean, we can agree Jeffrey Epstein was evil, right? He was somebody who amassed power and money and used it to indulge himself at the expense of many, many other people and really didn't care about that. That's what evil is. But when you look at it in terms of we're hunter-gatherers who left the forest and started organizing these structures, evil would be the people that seek to better themselves at everybody else's expense, that seek to tear down those good structures, and that it's why we're here to fight those people. I think that fits perfectly into where I landed, that it's all about whatever we decide that it's all about. And let's decide that it's all about building these things that we can build, making art, making music, making science, understanding the world.
But that has not always been the way of belief. Like, I think Aristotle, you know, was one of the people who said, we're here to flourish ourselves, to build a good life for ourselves.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, you know, to watch out for others as much. You know, we're here to reach our full potential.
Are those really two different things, though? Or can we really reach our full potential if we're not watching out for others? Can you really enjoy a good life if it's coming at the expense of somebody else?
Well, that's another big question for another big show. First of all, I want to thank all of you, my listeners, who are my guests today on this very deep and real show, this little exploration into philosophy that I had here with my in-studio guest, James Michael Shaw Jr., who I thank for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So I think, you know, the punchline is it's you and a medieval Christian monk and maybe a Japanese Buddhist and us as atheists and existentialists. You know, we might all have completely irreconcilable views about why we're here, but we probably mostly agree on how to behave at dinner. Right? So that's all we have time for today, friends. We may not have solved the riddle of why we are here, but I think we can all agree that all traditions teach us that we are supposed to follow the golden rule and treat others as we would hope to be treated ourselves. We're supposed to be kind and generous to all, which reminds me, next week is our summer pledge drive, and there are great reasons why you should consider making a gift to WMNF. We've seen the looting and the larceny of the Trump and DeSantis administrations, and we recognize the capitulation and corruption of the big law firms and corporations and the utter cowardice of Congress to curtail it. But at WMNF's midpoint, when we see it, unlike legacy media with its corporate overlords, We here at Midpoint, we call it out. So please start with making a generous donation to Midpoint at WMNF to support independent non-commercial media. And we've got great swag for you too, like a terrific 11-ounce mug with the picture of the crying Statue of Liberty on it that is a special show gift. That's all for us, folks. Stay tuned. We are WMNF Tampa.